Church, as y'all know, some of y'all know, most of you know, that a year ago, actually, I just posted back the first message that we actually preached from this facility,
that's
which
right.
was on October the 28th
wow.
in 20.
Wow.
So we've got 4 years. We weren't back full in service on that day, but we did come back a little bit later in October.
Yes.
Well, starting in March that year, had marked 1 year for us.
Yes.
Then we actually returned after the
pandemic.
Amen. So that means I've been working up here preaching for about a year.
Yay.
So I said, well, after a year, I think I need a break.
Yeah.
So not only that, but God has equipped this church with some awesome men of God.
Yeah.
Who really know the word. Amen. They really know how to preach. They have been fellow laborers with me in the ministry throughout the years, really long before the pandemic. And we have one such who is going to come today to bring and break the bread of life for us. It's my good friend, a servant of God, and your friend, your minister, Sunday school teacher, outreach preacher, all these things, and the minister, John G. We're going to bring him at this time. Amen. Break the bread of life. Receive him. Speak up and share.
So that is my intent this morning.
Amen.
I plan to be before you long. I'm not going to stretch it out. I'm not going to ad lib. I'm going to do that which God has called me to do. That's to give you a word that's going to be beneficial, upbuilding, and encouraging. But before we do that, let's approach the throne of grace.
Yes.
Father God, it's in the name of Jesus now. We approach you this morning, Father God. First of all, I thank you for this opportunity that my pastor has yielded me to this sacred desk to be able to use it in a manner that seems fitting to you and upright, Father God.
Yes.
Let me be a oracle for you this morning, Lord. And let me give words of wisdom and truth so that our people can continue to prosper and grow in good health, Father. And learn what it is to really rely to lean on you, Father God. Not on our own understanding, but in all our ways, acknowledge you for everything that we need this morning.
Yes.
And so if you lay this on my heart to relate to our people this morning, I give you honor, and I give you glory, and I give you praise.
Yes.
Let me decrease and let you increase right now, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
So this morning, I've chosen a topic that's kind of jumped out at me. Simply said, prayer, but not just prayer, fervent prayer. Fervent prayer yields favorable results.
All right.
We're going to do it the old fashioned way. We don't have a handout this morning, but we're going to open our Bibles.
All right.
I want you to open your Bibles to Nehemiah, the first chapter. Just to give you a little insight on who Nehemiah was. He was a man with a desire to do something profitable for God regarding the people of Israel. He was also a man that was deeply devoted to what he was charged to do. You see, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to a king in the Persian Empire by the name of Artaxerxes. Now, I don't know if y'all know what a cupbearer is. He's the closest thing to the king.
That's right. Amen.
Whatever king eats, cupbearer eats. Whatever king drinks, he drinks. But the trick is, he drinks it first.
Right. Amen.
So that means he has great insight on the needs and the feelings of his king. Because he's there every day. He's put his life on the line for this man in order to make sure that his life goes perfectly.
Yes.
But he was also an exiled Jew. And he had a deep desire to help God's people be restored because see, half of them had already went back to Israel. In fact, Jerusalem particularly, there was an extra expatriated small remnant that had went back years earlier. They had a mandate to help to rebuild the temple and to restore the walls of Jerusalem. But this didn't happen. They started and then they stopped. This was under the time of Zerubbabel, which was the provisional governor, and Ezra, the prophet. And so therefore, they didn't get this done. And so, word got back to Nehemiah. It hasn't been done. God's city still sits in ruins. And the temple has been laid low. This touched him deeply.
Yes,
to the point that he prayed this prayer. Now, if we set the scene that this man was not a nobleman, he was a cupbearer, which means he was a servant of the Persian Empire, and specifically to the king himself. So how would he get from being a cupbearer to wanting to do something that would restore God's house, God's nation, and specifically his city in Zion? He prayed. So, as we open our Bibles, and I'm opening mine, we want to be looking at the circumstance and the situation in such a way that it gives us room for thought.
Yes.
We're going to start at the fourth verse, because that's when he started to pray. He says, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days, I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then the Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep the commandments, let your ear be attentive. Mm-hmm. Let your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant.
Yes.
He's praying before you and day and night for your servant and for the people of Israel. I confess sins with the Israelites, including myself, my father's family. Mm-hmm. I have committed against you. We have acted wickedly, very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Mm-hmm. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me,
yes,
and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the furthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Mm-hmm. He says, then he goes on to say, he says, they are servants and your people,
yes,
whom you redeemed, yes, by great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear hear the intended, yes, prayer of this your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name.
Mm-hmm.
Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. And he says, I was a cupbearer to the king.
Yes.
So the table's been set. Nehemiah, a cupbearer, with a deep and abiding love for God's people and God's house, goes to God fervently and asks this thing. This is a big thing. He's asking to do something that's astronomical. But first, his first hurdle is he's got to get past the king.
Yep.
How do you get past the king? Oh, just so you know, Persia was the most powerful empire in the known world at that particular time. So this man yielded exceptional power.
Yes, he did. Yes.
If he waved his hand, he could change the destiny of a whole nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was a powerful man, but he stood next to this man every single day. So if you read this in the second chapter, as he goes before the king, that's why I say we approach the throne of God with boldness. You see, you can't do pity bad prayers and expect God to give you the results that you're praying for. If you're looking to do some great things for God, you've got to change your attitude. You see, when I hear things that people say, first thing I ask them, well, have you prayed about it?
Mm-hmm.
Have you given consideration to God? Yeah. How are you to do this and when you're to do this?
Yeah. Amen.
Because sometimes the things that God gives us is not for me.
That's right.
We want to go do it right now. No. You wait on him.
Yeah. Amen.
And so once he had did all this, and I want you to know how he prayed. He used four basic principles. He showed God adoration.
Mm-hmm.
Then, through contrition, he confessed all his sins and all his people's sins.
Mm-hmm.
And then he thanked God for not forgetting about them, the promises that he had given. See, when you pray God's word back to him, he has thought of that.
Yes, he will.
And so, there are a lot of people that are coming in now that don't really know much about prayer. You know, they just drop down on their knees and begin to pray.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a formula that you have to follow, mm-hmm, in order to get your prayers answered.
All right.
You can't go to God any kind of way.
All right.
And so he was showing them that if you do this, then your prayers are at least considered.
Mm-hmm.
But in our case, he said the God of heaven.
Yes.
We say in the name of Jesus. Because he's our intercessor. He stands in the gap for us. He's the one making intercessions for us every single day.
Yes.
His blood covers our sins, so that's why God doesn't see our sins. When we pray, we don't have to pray amiss because we know our prayers are being heard.
Yes.
Amen.
When we talk about fervent prayers, We're talking about prayers with power.
Yes.
They're not mealy mouth prayers.
That's right.
They're not a wish or a hope. Mm-hmm. We pray them with confidence, knowing that what we're asking, and we're asking intentionally, purposefully, in God's righteousness,
yes,
knowing that we are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ,
yes,
then our prayers are going to be answered.
Yes.
We have to change the situation in the 21st century where we got to pray fervent prayers.
Yes.
We've got to begin to move things that need to be moved, impossible things.
Yes.
When I came to St. Timothy, what is it, 6 years now? I saw something. In working with Pastor Fisher for all those years in outreach, he had a fire that wouldn't be quenched.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we'd literally go in and, you know, house of fire, and before we know the Holy Spirit had ignited the whole room.
Yeah.
I said, I want to hang out with this brother. Yeah. And as I've done this over the years, I began to see that we were kindred spirits in that regard. And he's been loving to me and patient with me and working with me. But that was only through fervent prayer that I knew to hook up with this man.
Yeah.
You see, the Bible tells us when you see such ones, you imitate their conduct. And therefore, you know, you are who you hang around with.
Okay.
That's just a sad part. But at the same time, I want you to know that it's important that we understand what we're praying for, that we're intentional about it, that we give it full consideration when we get on our knees.
Mm-hmm.
While we lay prostrate. You know, we put ourselves in a position of humility.
All right. Yeah.
There's a reason why we go down,
yeah,
on our knees and we begin to pray. As a young boy, I began to see this pattern in my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began to follow that pattern. And I believe her fervent prayers brought me to this expected end.
All right. Yeah.
And so I know I've reaped the benefits of fervent prayer. So that's why I encourage you today to examine how you pray. There's a word in the Greek that says, what we receive, the word energy, is N-G-O.
Mm-hmm.
What the word actually means, power.
Yes.
So when we speak to God, we speak to him humbly, respectfully,
yes,
but we do it with expectancy,
yes,
knowing that we're going to get something from him.
Yes.
Amen.
We don't pray on this.
That's right.
We don't pray pity-pat prayers.
That's right.
All right.
Change your whole disposition on prayer, and therefore God can begin to use you,
yes,
work with you, and begin to build you up,
yes,
to where you need to be.
Amen.
Because we all have a part in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
We all have to be considered. But the Bible tells us in everything, through prayer and supplication,
yes,
make your petitions made known to God. Yes. Tell him what you want. Everything about you. He knows what you're going to speak before you speak it. But he's also given you a thing called agency.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants you to be able to use your agency in order to clear your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Mm-hmm.
So what's in your heart? It needs to come out of your mouth.
Right.
And those things need to be expressed to the most powerful man in the universe. That's the Lord God.
Yes.
Through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
This is where we get our strength. God's not a myth. He's real.
He's real.
Amen. And he's ready to grant whatever you need.
Thank you.
It took me a while to understand that, but I finally understood it. But I also understood the type of person that I have to be in order to receive what God's got for me. So I had to do some re-examination, because when I pray, I want my prayers to be answered.
Amen.
So do my actions line up with what I'm praying for? Am I giving my full attention to everything about me? My life, my movement, and my being, is it wrapped up in Christ, or is it wrapped up in me?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm expecting God to honor some foolishness that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. All
right.
You see, we have to be real with ourselves.
Yes, amen.
You know, as I prepared this message today, I thought about all the ways that God has used me and continues to use me. He looked past my faults,
mm-hmm,
because he saw the good in me.
Yeah.
See, I knelt down and I fell on my knees, even when things weren't going right. Mm-hmm. And I pray that you do the same. Mm-hmm. When sickness wrecked my body, I didn't stop praying.
All right.
When my money got funny, I didn't stop praying.
All right.
When my relationship started falling apart, I didn't stop praying.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But I prayed all the more.
My Lord.
But you know what? I said, let your will be done.
Your will.
Not mine.
Yes.
And so therefore we come to God with contrition and with repentance for all the things that we've done. At the same time, knowing that he can change our circumstances and our situations like that.
Yes, it can.
But sometimes we gotta walk it out because we're hard headed. But when our prayers turn to him considerably and how he wants to deal with us, you see, when you develop the mind and the heart of God, he knows you and he began to know him.
Amen.
But you can only do this through the word of God.
Amen.
He's waiting for you to open up the books. And so when you pray back to him what he's given to you. When you get on your knees, Jesus gave us the example. Our Father, who art in heaven.
Yes.
Hallowed be thy name, which means sanctified.
Yes.
Thy kingdom come.
Yes.
The model that he gave us was a fervent prayer to let us know how to approach the throne of grace the right way.
Yes.
And so everything that we do has to be done decent and in order.
Amen.
You see, we just can't expect to pray. And I'm speaking specifically to those that have walked with Christ for a long time. And your life seems to have stood still. You haven't gotten any results. You're saying, why? You don't know how to pray. Your life actions aren't lining up with what you're praying for. If I'm praying to be a preacher of the gospel, then everything that I do has to be circumspect and line up with what I'm praying for. Which means I've got to study, I've got to meditate, I've got to read, I've got to be an encourager.
Yes.
I've got to be an intercessor. You see, because this is what it means to step into this mountain. So everything that I'm asking for, all my actions lining up with what I'm asking for. Nehemiah's actions were lining up with everything he was asking for.
Right, amen.
He was prepared to do what he needed to do to get there. But the first obstacle was to get past the king.
That's it.
And if you read the second chapter, which we don't have time today, it will say, it will let you know that the king says, well, what's going on with you? I'm paraphrasing now. And he told him about his plight with his people.
Mm-hmm.
And king acknowledged, he said, yeah. He said, well, what do you propose to do about it? He said, if it pleased the king, I need to do this thing.
Yes.
Which means he got to leave this man aside. Now I want you to understand the dynamics that are going on. This is the man that saves your life every single day. Yep. He has to eat the food that you eat. Drink what you drink.
Yep.
Before it even touches your lips. And so, who are you going to get to do that for you? That you trust. So, evidently the king had affection for this man.
Yes.
Because when he asked, the king didn't hesitate. He simply wanted to know what you need and how long you're going to be gone. Don't tell me God ain't good. This is pain that granted the man's request. He just wanted to know how long you're going to be gone. Nehemiah simply replied, if it pleases the king, when I'm finished with my assignment, I'll be back. He was gone exactly 12 years. But when he got finished with his assignment, guess what he did? He went, he came as a man of his word. He went back.
Yes.
But in the meantime, a lot of things had transpired and went on. In this situation of Nehemiah and the people of Israel, because he wasn't just given an assignment, he was given authority to complete that assignment.
Right.
You go from cupbearer to provisional government overnight. With a detail of truce, a letter from the king, which meant everything. If we got the king's letter, we got the king's seal,
right.
We can get whatever we need. That's a lesson in that. I got it, sister.
That's right.
When you got the seal of the king, you have the vision. You have power. So everything that you need is at your disposal.
Yes.
Amen. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. Ain't that something?
Yes, it is.
Now, so we have to approach this thing from a completely non-logical situation, because nothing says that this man was going to be equipped to do the job that he had done. But yeah, it wasn't easy for Nehemiah. He had to continually pray. When he got to the land, there's things that had to be done. He had secured the proper resources to rebuild the wall. He had to encourage the people, because they had all fallen off, as we say, backslidden.
Yep.
So he had a large degree of responsibility. He carried the weight of the most powerful man in the world, Xerxes. And if Xerxes told you to do something, you better be getting it done.
All right.
Otherwise, you know, the hounds of hell will come down on you with a quickness. And so they understood that, so they at least listened to him. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to have the track. Oh yeah, they coming. We've experienced it right here in St. Timothy.
Yes.
But we went from a storefront to this church. Oh, you'd be surprised at the things that I heard.
That's right.
But God.
Yeah.
So we've had those Nehemiah experiences. So he's going to give us double for our trouble.
Yes.
That's what he did for Nehemiah. So when he got there, first of all, he had to convince the leaders that they had fallen off. They had missed their assignment. You know, sometimes we do that. I've been guilty of that. I fell off my assignment. But when God called me again, he said, I have saved you to this point, to this part of your life. I've kept you in good health. I've prospered you. I've done everything.
Yes.
Now, I purposely sit you in the place where you are to do what I've called you to do. So you better get to doing it.
Amen.
See, so this is personal with me. I don't think I can preach to anybody unless I can give you the experiences that have motivated me to move and to do what I have to do. And so this day, despite whatever situations in my life, because there are still detractors, there are still people that are pulling at me.
Yes.
There are still things that are going on. You see, I got those Sam Ballard and Tobias in my life too. They're actually out there, okay? They're working to destroy me, okay? You know, our warfare is always not carnal.
Mm-hmm. All right, preach.
But it's mighty for pulling down strongholds.
Yeah.
And so when I attack further. I put on the full armor of God, and I go for it. I go straight forward. You all have seen my shirt. That shirt real with me. That's why I chose it.
Yes.
Because it's a struggle. It's a fight. I said, anything that's trying to prevent me from doing God's will and fulfilling my purpose, he must have something good for me. I had to come to that conclusion. So it's no war with me. I'm like Nehemiah. I continue to be fervent, to be intentional,
yes,
and to be steadfast,
yes,
to the things that God has called me to do.
Yes.
And so, just to let you know, the Bible says the fervent prayers of the righteous man availeth much. That's James 5:16.
Mm-hmm.
That's the B part, okay? It says, those that we pray one for another. But at the end, it tells us how those prayers are answered. So when I stand before a person, or a person has to pray with me, he said, well, you ain't right. Well, yes, I am. I am the righteousness of God. Through Jesus Christ. I've been sanctified, justified. So when I pray for somebody, I expect my prayers to be answered.
Amen.
When I stand before the throne of grace, anything that I'm asking in Jesus' name,
mm-hmm,
that's intentionally part of his purpose for my life and for the person that I'm praying for, I expect expect to be answered.
Amen.
So I expect healing.
Yes.
Yes.
I expect restoration.
All right.
I expect broken relationships to be mended.
Amen.
I expect you to change.
Yes.
I've seen those changes. And it's marvelous in the eyes of God.
Amen.
But at the same time, all that he has empowered me to do, I take no credit.
Mm-hmm.
All glory, all honor goes to God.
Yeah.
I celebrate him. Yeah. The next glory. For me, I've done for us. It's important that you realize who we're doing it for.
Amen.
Because we can't do anything within ourselves.
That's right.
Amen.
It says, in him we have our life, our movement, and our being. And so everything that we do comes through him. He gives us the power. He gives us the movement. He gives us the mental capacity to do what we need to do. And so no weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Amen.
And every tongue, wicked tongue that rises against us shall be condemned. This is the word of God. So we know that we have the promises of God. We have his enlightenment, his encouragement, and most of all, we have his Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit of God walks with us, talks with us. Remember that song that says he walks with us,
yes.
He talks with us,
yes.
He tells me I'm his own. And so I remember that song as a little boy.
Yes.
But it's true. When you accept Jesus Christ, and then you're endowed with the Holy Spirit, everything about you changes.
Yes.
So your prayers are directed towards kingdom interest. You're more focused on who you are and whose you are. You're not just caught up in this rat race of life, but now you've got purpose to your life.
Yes.
Because you pray fervently.
Yes. Right.
But at the same time, the Holy Spirit of God says, you know, he says, I'm there. He says, the lead and guide you to all truth. You see, sometimes that particular part of Godhead, we leave out because we don't think he's important. But he's the part that Jesus said he'd leave with us. John 15 chapter, he says, I leave the Spirit. He said, I got to go with you.
Yeah.
He said, I leave the Spirit. So the Spirit of God that he leaves is actually our comfort. It allows us to be able to focus on God, to pray in the proper manner. That's why we acknowledge all three parts of the Godhead.
Amen.
Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So for using you, King James reads the Holy Ghost, okay? So, but at the same time, the same premise is the same. We use this vehicle to give us encouragement, to give us strength, and to give us the words to say. To encourage others.
Yes.
See, because all this is not for us. And I continue to reiterate that. It's not for us. But fervent prayer through power in Christ will give us everything that we need.
Amen.
And more.
Mm-hmm.
See, God not just wants us to enjoy, because Nehemiah enjoyed his journey. His time there and being able to be a part of God's purpose, which was not only to restore the city, but also to restore pure worship.
Yes. Amen.
You see, when it got down to all that, that's really what it was all about. It was about being able to re-energize the people to give honor and glory to God. So when we walk in this place, we're not coming here. This is not a social club.
All right.
We come here to give God honor, glory, and praise.
Amen.
We celebrate God. We give him everything that's in us so that he can give us everything that's in him.
Yes.
It's a reciprocal relationship when we know that.
Yes.
You only get what you put into something. If you don't put anything into it, guess what? You're not going to get anything out of it. So, this book contains 13 chapters.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell it's one of my favorite books, right?
Yeah.
Because he went the whole way, the whole gamut. The wall, which seemed to be invincible to build, got so bad after he had convinced the people to build a wall that they had to put on swords in order to defend themselves, yes, just in case something jumped off. But he said, don't fear, for the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
And so he was encouraged.
Amen.
By his encouragement, he encouraged the people. So they had the tribe and putting up the wall in one hand, they had the sword in the other. You see, we carry the same sword, but it's the sword of faith. Mm-hmm. It's this right here. This is what we carry.
Amen.
You know, so we continue to work the kingdom of God, but at the same time, we carry the sword.
Yeah,
sword
thank
of the
you.
That's able to divide.
Yes.
Even down to the very marrow. Give us the strength that we need. So yes, when we need to cut something up, we don't try to do it ourselves.
Amen.
That's it.
We find it in the Word.
That's right.
That's right. This is our work. Our work in the church. This is what we use. So therefore, we give honor and glory to God by acknowledging His Word.
Amen.
Everything that's in us. That's why it says, study to show yourself approved.
Yes.
A workman that need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the Word of God.
Amen.
Rightly dividing the Word of God.
Amen.
Understanding the importance of how it is in your life. That's what God, that's the vehicle God wants you to use. When Nehemiah prayed, he prayed to the God of heaven. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ hadn't come on the scene. And so, in him doing this, he actually was doing the same thing that we do. Mm-hmm. And as he acknowledged God through all that he had done, I left off the acts of prayer where he actually did contrition. He prayed that God would forgive his people for all the sins that they had committed. He thanked him for putting his thought in his mind. And then, in supplication, he prayed that he'd be able to have these things accomplished. And that's what we have to do. We don't pray amiss, hoping that things are going to happen. But maybe the Lord is going to do it. Maybe he's going to honor my prayer. If you pray like that, don't bother. Don't bother. That's a good point, brother. It is. See, you know, without faith, it's impossible.
That's right.
James said to let us know that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And he can't expect anything from God.
That's right.
I think that puts a point.
Amen.
And so when I pray with confidence. I don't know what God's going to do from this day forward. Because new levels, new depths.
Mm.
Hey. Amen. As you go up, as blessings go up, and opportunities present themselves, you're also going to have some people that hate you. For no reason. You're not getting anything to them just because you're you.
Amen.
And you're exalting the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm like, but what did Jesus say? In this world, you will have tribulation. See, they hated me. Guess what? They're going to hate you too.
Amen.
But does that stop us?
No way.
Does that prevent us from doing that which God had called us to do? Did it stop Nehemiah?
No.
Because of his faithfulness, God did a wonder working work on him. A wall that they said would take 10 years to build, they did it in 52 days.
Amen.
Show you on the wall of Jerusalem. For after the exile, what the Babylonians had done and decimated the city, the wall, they trashed it. But the wall was built in such a way where it didn't take nothing but hard work and a miracle of God to energize some men to put the wall back up.
Yes.
52 days. And if it wasn't such a big deal, why were all the detractors around them trying to stop them from doing what they're doing?
Laugh at them, mock.
Yeah, all that. Mock them, laugh at them. Try to create great bodily harm on Nehemiah. But because the word of God was in him, yeah, and he was always in tune with God, because before he did anything, he prayed.
Yeah.
Anything he done.
Yes.
You're reading the passage says, and I prayed, and then I acted. 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 So stop leaning on your own understanding. You need to be able to approach it. It says, in all things, through prayer and supplication, make your petitions made known to God. All things, not just some things. Well, God, I can have this over here. If this man had done that, he never would have completed the assignment that God had given him. So we know he built the wall. He reestablished and reestablished government in that region, because he had the full power, remember, of the most powerful man in the world. So he was able to do that, restore true religion and true worship to the people. You go over about the 7th or the 8th chapter, you'll see where, when religion was restored, he got the prophets back and all that, and the priests, and they had begun to open up the book. The people were so excited about being able to praise and worship God that they cried. And he said, no, don't cry. He said, what I want you to do is worship. He said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's where we should be putting our consolation in. But now we've got to give him what is his. His honor, his praise, and his glory.
Yes. Yes.
How can you serve a God that you don't know? You can't. You can't serve a God that you don't know. So you got to read. So for those of us who are still on the fence and wondering about where our place in God is, or maybe we just put him on the back burner for a little while, we need to reignite that. Relationship.
Yes.
We need to go to him in earnest and just say, God, what do you want from me?
Yeah. Amen.
But just as Daniel said, he said, send me, Lord.
Send me.
Send me. So it's all about submission to that which is most important in my life. Purposely, intentionally. Those are the things that we want to focus on today. So I just want to ask you a question. Are you getting this?
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Because see, I don't want to be preaching amidst either. I want to make sure that you understand what I'm saying.
Amen.
The Lord put on my heart today to step away from the expositional preaching and just do a topical sermon. He said, because your people need to know that we're not just talking about something or somebody that's not real.
All right. Amen.
That I can do exceedingly abundantly anything that you've been asked to think.
Yes.
If you'll trust me.
Yes.
If you'll pray me. If you'll worship me. If you would give ear to my inspiration. If you'll read my word, I will give you the desires of your heart. These are perilous times that we're living in. We go from one situation to the other. We go from a pandemic to almost food shortages, global warming. You don't think we need Jesus? Oh, yeah, we need him. We need to be strengthened. We need to be encouraged. And most of all, we need each other. You see, the prayers of the righteous avail it much. And when we connect all together, oh man, that's what you call dunamis power.
Yeah.
Dunamis was an explosion. When it goes boom!
Yeah.
That's the kind of power we need, Saint Timothy. That's the kind of power that all of God's people need.
Yeah.
That's the kind of power that we that will move things. That will move mountains.
Wow.
Literally. That'll move things out of our way. I pray every day that every obstacle that before us as a congregation, as a ministry, is rude. Yeah. And that we can do it to the glory of God.
Yeah.
And that we're able to move forward and to exert the power that we need in order to get it done. But I've outlined to you today things that you need to know.
Amen.
So you can be a participant in this. You don't want to be a spectator.
Yeah.
The worst thing to be is to be a spectator in a glorious undertaking and you have no part in it. And all you can say is, I could have been a part of that. Oh, no. I want to be in the game, okay? I want to be a willing participant in everything that's going on. But we can't do anything unless we give God our full attention.
Yes.
We say we acknowledge Him. We call His name on a regular basis. But yet at the same time, do we really love and adore this person who came down from heaven and stepped into time and changed the whole dynamics of the human race? That man, Jesus!
Yes.
So we pray to God, but we acknowledge Jesus because we can't get a prayer through unless we do just that. But He thought enough of us not only to come down here, but to give His life as a ransom for humanity and then to change our entire destiny.
Yes.
Ain't that something?
Yes.
Because He says, I pray that you have life and have it more abundant.
Yes.
And that's the life that I want. Abundance does not require a lot of material wealth. There's nothing wrong with material wealth. But what He's trying to get you to see is that He wants you to be whole in every respect. He wants you to be able to have the things that you need when you need them. And the very tangible things and the intangible things. Because if your mind ain't right, if your body's not right, if your heart's not right, then you can't receive any of those things.
That's right.
You've got to be able to focus on what's the important thing. Make the main thing the main thing. So the main thing is Jesus.
Jesus.
I want y'all to say that.
Jesus.
With conviction.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's the main thing. That's the main thing. Jesus. So all these stories are important, but what I'm trying to get you to see is there's a means to the end.
Amen.
So God has instructed us as orators and instructors of His word to feed His people in such a way to whereas they worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
And so as we accept this mantle, we move forward in it and we'll do it until God calls us home.
Yes.
So I would hope this morning that these words that have come would give you comfort.
Yes.
It would also give you encouragement.
Yes.
To let you know that God has not left you nor forsaken you.
All right.
And that fervent prayers yield positive results.
Amen.
I thank you.
Amen.
Saved, or if you're looking for a church home or candidate for baptism, we ask you.